Let's pray as we dive in. Heavenly Father, today as we open your word and hear Jesus' words, may you challenge our hearts, may you speak straight to us, and may we be changed. In Jesus' name, amen. How's your stress level this morning? I ask that to people often because I think it's a good gauge on like where they're at in life, and you get different answers all the time. Some of you new freshmen at FLA, your stress level may be a little higher. Maybe not. Maybe it's relaxing there. Some of you with full-time jobs, it may be very stressful. For those of you looking for a job, it's even more stressful. Everybody has a different stress level, and this morning I'd like to add to your stress if I can do that. Would that be okay? Everybody needs a little more stress in life. I have a video that I just wanted to share with you, and I just thought, you know, stress is a great thing. Let's give the congregation more. And it's a video of a drone operator, a young drone operator. Now, I like drones. I think they're pretty cool inventions. We have a couple of drones in our house. In fact, I bought one for Christmas for one of my kids several years ago. And we already had a cool gift picked out for the other kid, and I don't remember which kid it was, but I went on eBay and I bought this drone, and it wasn't coming in the mail, and it wasn't coming in the mail, and I thought, boy, if I don't order another one, then they won't have a Christmas present. So I ordered another one, and now we have two drones because they both showed up at our house. Have you done that before? Just this last week, my kids were flying their drones inside the house, buzzing each other, and they took them outside, and I had to get the ladder to get one unstuck from the Spanish moss hanging from trees. Drones are cool, but what happens to drones when you're flying it and the battery begins to die? Maybe you have drones, I don't know. And more importantly, when you're flying it over a body of water and the battery begins to die, what happens there? I mean, typically drones just land by themselves as a safety measure. Well, I thought I would get your heart rates up this morning by this drone operator that has a drone that's dying over a lake. Would you like to see it? Yes. Actually, in first service, there were several that were like, no, Pastor Matt, my stress is already too high. Too bad, we're watching anyway. Here we go. Look at this guy, he knows what's happening. Paid thousands of dollars for this. Oh, he'll do it. Oh, it's coming down. Oh. What are you at, about 170, 180 this morning? Where are you at? Stress. Everybody's got it. Doesn't matter what age you are, what work you have. There's stress everywhere. All it takes is to flip on the news and your stress skyrockets and even more. Social unrest, political unrest, everybody wondering who the next president's gonna be. Right now my news feed, my social media, it's filled with people trying to convince other people that they should vote for somebody else. I don't know if yours looks like that. It's just constant and it's always back and forth. Or if that's not enough, you've got it in your home, you've got stress, whether that's marriage or whether it's kids. Or if you think about stress from an eternal perspective and you think about sin in your life, it's pretty stressful to think that we're all sinners and boy, we sure won't get to heaven if it's up to us. If God knew what I was really like, he wouldn't even want me in his family. That's stressful, I'll tell you. Just this last week, I got some text messages from a very close friend of mine. And he was saying, you know, Matt, I've got this challenge in my family and it's so stressful. I could feel the anxiety in the text message. I could just feel it. Even to the point where he said, I feel like I'm just gonna throw up. Hey, everybody has stress and I don't know where your stress is this morning. For some of you, it's financial stress. I mean, just this last week and multiple weeks this over the last several months, we've been going through worthy student applications of families that want their kids to be at Fleece or Forest Lake Academy. And we've been going through and we can see the adjusted gross income and we can see what families are trying to live on. There's financial stress. Maybe your stress is really marriage stress, where you feel like the person you married so many years ago isn't the same person anymore. And you just live like roommates and it's just different now. Or maybe your stress is parenting stress, where your kids are making dumb decisions that are long-term decisions, and you think, man, what's gonna happen to my kid? Or maybe it's just the same stress that we all have, which is sin. Sin in our life. Sometimes sin is the stressor in the life that makes you just feel so unworthy and unwelcome in the family of God. Whatever you're stressing about this morning, I hope that you leave with the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that can only come from the Prince of Peace. Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." What is the peace? How do you get it, and what do you do with it? You know, Jesus, as he's talking about peace, he probably is speaking in his native language of Aramaic, but he probably uses words that are similar to the words in Hebrew. You've heard it this morning. You've heard shalom, peace. Or maybe he uses it like the Greek word eirene, peace. They have these beautiful connotations of completeness, wholeness, harmony. Other translations might be soundness or well-being. The peace that Jesus is talking about is not necessarily heart peace about your stress level, but it's eternal peace. It's this harmony of peace of bringing a sinner and a savior together. He's talking about the harmony between humans and God. He's talking about the harmony of peace. And Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." You know, Jesus understood this harmony very well. In his time, you had lots of different Jewish groups of people that were all over the place. You had the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Essenes, these scholars, these people that loved the Lord with all their heart, and they were well-studied, and they dug into Scripture, and they loved to follow God. They were excited about their journey of religion as they followed him. You also had another group of Jews that were called the Zealots. Another very dedicated group of people, but they believed, and they would, their motto was, "Only God is our ruler," and their MO was guerrilla warfare tactics of division. They wanted nothing more than to overthrow the Romans and to set up their own kingdom as God as their king. And so you had these groups that were all together, yet Jesus, as he's talking to all these groups on the hillside above the Sea of Galilee, he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." There were zealots there, guaranteed there were zealots there. And I wonder if his peacemaking unity concept was something that made the zealots feel a little uncomfortable, a little uneasy. I wonder if, as he talked about peace, if it made them feel a little stressed. But you got to understand Jesus. He understood this, and he was the king of bringing people together in harmony. See, on his squad of 12 disciples, he had zealots. You know one of them very well. His name was Simon Peter, a man that would rather chop off somebody's ear than to shake hands with somebody. He wanted nothing more than to overthrow the government. But on Jesus' squad of 12, he also had someone that worked for the government. His name was Matthew, and he was a tax collector. Two enemies, yet because they're in the presence of Jesus, they have harmony together. In fact, you could almost say that peace comes when Jesus brings harmony. Two opposite men, men who wanted opposite things, but because they're with Jesus, they're here at peace. Peace between enemies, harmony between differing groups, completeness because Jesus is there. And Jesus does the same thing in our hearts and our lives too. There's uneasiness and division in our lives, in our hearts. In fact, the prophet Isaiah, he puts it this way in the Old Testament. He says, "But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." Sin's the great separator. It's that wedge that goes between humans and God. Originally, humans and God were one and together, yet sin drives that wedge in between where we can't be with him, can't be in his presence. It's a fact that with just us, we can't have eternal life. Yet Jesus comes and he dies for my sins and your sins. And because of Jesus, there's this harmonious reconnection of sinful humanity and perfect divinity. There's this peace that comes with Jesus. Reconciliation and harmony and reconnection. And you see this in the Beatitudes as they build on top of one another. It's only as you hunger and thirst for the righteousness of God. That's right in the pinnacle. That's the pinnacle of the Beatitudes. It's when you hunger and thirst for righteousness that God fills your heart with this love and mercy and your heart becomes pure. And it's only after Jesus fills your heart and pushes the junk up and out and away that you become at peace with the idea that his righteousness is the saving grace for your life. It's the harmony between sinful humanity and sinless divinity coming together. That's the peace that Jesus speaks of as he talks about this beatitude, the peace that he gives. It's peace that's overwhelming. Peace that's relieving. It's a relief to know that you can't crawl and claw your way into heaven by yourself. So stop trying to be perfect. The way you get to heaven is by knowing Jesus. That should give you some peace. But Jesus goes beyond that because he talks about being a peacemaker. And I think our natural 2024 minds think, oh, making peace, yeah, there's divides, there's division, making peace, you know, forgiving somebody, and that's good. But I think Jesus means something different when he talks about being a peacemaker. And I think it fits best if we go back to kind of the root of this word, this maker word, which really gives the idea of doing or putting forth, or I think we'll substitute the word showing, being a peace shower. It's this idea of showing or sharing even better, peace sharing. Just like in the Beatitude about being merciful, you remember a few weeks ago where Jesus says, blessed are the merciful. You can't share mercy unless you've already received it. It's only after you understand mercy that you can give it. It's the same in this one too. It's like this. Because of the peace that you've experienced, knowing that Jesus has forgiven your sins and you're given eternal life, you now can share it and give it to somebody else. Are you with me so far? Because of the peace that you received, knowing that Jesus has your salvation in his hands, you can now give it to someone else so that they may have that peace as well. You know, Spyros Zodiotis, he's this commentator that we've used several times in this series. He says this. He says, we gain by giving and we lose by keeping. After sharing the mercy of God and thus maintaining and increasing our own purity, we receive the peace of God in such abundance that it overflows to all around us. You receive the peace and then you give it. It's almost like another great commission that Jesus gives us. You know the original, the OG, Matthew 28, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's the Great Commission. It's almost like Jesus says it in just a different way, where he says, once you've received the peace that comes with the gospel, go give it. Give it in your method. Tell somebody your story. Tell them your experience. Tell them how you didn't deserve peace, but now that you have it, you want them to have it as well. Share the peace, AKA the gospel, with somebody else and become a peacemaker. Or you could say it how we say it here at Forest Lake, live the gospel. There's a story that's been happening in our church for a couple of years now. You may not know it, but it's a pretty powerful story. It's a story from our own Pastor Juan Martinez. He's our young adult pastor. He's a great dude. I mean, he's stronger than all of us combined. I mean, this guy's ripped. He's such a great dude. He's not a very good golfer, but you know, whatever, we'll let that slide. Pastor Juan's a good dude. We really enjoy working with him. Back when COVID was in full height, everybody's hair got longer except for mine. Yep. And he was looking for a barber. And so he found one that was local and was open, one of the first ones that was open. And so he went to them, and his barber's name was Katie. And they met, and she cut his hair, and he kept going back to her to get his hair cut over, you know, every few weeks or months, whatever. And so they began to develop this relationship. And as barbers do, they talk to the person they're cutting their hair. And she asked, oh, hey, what do you do? And he said, well, I'm a pastor. And so she said, oh, well, tell me more about this. And so he began to tell her about his role. And she said, well, what church is it? And it's the Forest Lake Seventh-day Adventist Church. And, oh, tell me more about this story and or about what you guys think and what she works with. She knows nothing about God and who he is and what he's like, or let alone church. And he begins to tell her more and more. She starts thinking, well, maybe I could come there. And he says, you should. He said, one of our services is called Warehouse Community, and we worship this way. And she said, oh, I really like that. And unbeknownst to Pastor Juan, just a handful of weeks ago, two others of our church members know her. They didn't know that they knew the same person. And they say, hey, you should come to church with us. And she said, what church is it? And she said, oh, it's the Forest Lake Seventh-day Adventist Church, and we worship in Warehouse Community Church Service. And she said, well, Pat, do you know Pastor Juan? And they said, yeah, we know Pastor Juan. And so there's this beautiful movement of the Holy Spirit around this one person. And so Pastor Juan, just a few weeks ago, he goes to Katie and he says, hey, I don't know if you want to come, but we're having a baptism Sabbath coming up here in just a couple of weeks. And she said, oh, I've already said I'm not going to work on Sabbath anymore. She knows Sabbath now. Guess what happened last Sabbath? In fact, let me just show you what happened. This is last Sabbath.
To be here and to make this decision. So because you have been so dedicated in hearing God's voice and willing to surrender your life and made that decision to follow Jesus today, it is my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Isn't it cool to experience the peace that comes from knowing Jesus? Isn't it even more cool to share it with somebody else? Wow, just powerful. Zodiati says this, he says, blessed are the peacemakers. It means those who, having experienced the peace of God as a result of forgiveness of sin, they preach it to others and they become the instruments in God's hands for leading others to experience the same peace. Man, isn't that the calling of every disciple of Jesus? To experience it yourself and then share it with somebody else. Another one of my favorite Bible commentators, her name's Ellen White. She writes in this book, Thoughts from the Mount of Blessings, specifically on this passage, she writes this. She says, whoever by the quiet, unconscious influence of a holy life shall reveal the love of Christ, whoever by word or deed shall lead another to renounce sin and yield his heart to God is a peacemaker. Man, that's the calling. Being a peacemaker is to understand the gospel for yourself and then go share it with somebody else. And because Jesus gives us this task and this job, he makes you part of the team too. When you become a peacemaker, you join the team. It's almost like Jesus says, put the jersey on. You're one of mine. He says, you're a son or a daughter of God. It's pretty basic that once you've experienced the gospel, you share it with somebody else. But as you do, people say, I know the God that you know because I see him living in your heart. You know, about 20 years ago, which is a little embarrassing because it's so long ago that I was in high school, but some of you are way older than me, so I don't feel that bad. I met this guy right here. Here's his name, Daniel. Daniel Harper, and that's his wife, Logan. What an incredible dude. He was a freshman and I was a junior, but even though he was I was an upperclassman, he was a lowerclassman, it didn't matter. This guy was cool. He was kind, he was smart, he was athletic. He could do it all. I mean, he had a trampoline in his backyard and he'd do double backflips on this thing. And he was just a legendary guy, just a great dude. We became pretty close friends. In fact, I went to Southern as a freshman and Jen was there at GCA as a senior. And I remember Daniel calling me one day and he said, hey man, this might be weird, but there's a banquet coming up. Are you cool if I take Jen to this banquet here at GCA? And I just think that's so classy. And he said, and I said, yeah, absolutely, man. Here, look, her favorite flower is this. And the more I think about this now, I could have lost my wife to this guy. Man, what was I thinking? But he was such a cool dude. He comes to Southern and he begins making friends there too. And he's a business guy. Like he thinks strategy and he's a salesperson. In fact, he started this pyramid scheme at Southern and he basically had the entire guy's dorm in this giant pyramid scheme. I mean, I'm sure he was making money, although nobody else was making money, that's for sure. And he gets married to Logan. And before he graduates, he started feeling kind of weird. And he goes to the doctor and they start doing MRIs and they do tests on him and they come back and they say, hey man, I hate to tell you this, but we've found a glioblastoma tumor in your brain. And they said, this is the fast growing type and we don't have much hope for you, man. We can't even give you a timeline. I mean, it could be weeks, it could be months, we don't even know. And you could see Daniel, who's living his best life. He's grasping for life. He ends up moving out to Hawaii, and he's surfing every day, and he's just mountain boarding, and he's making money. And you can see the weight and pressure of his impending doom riding on his life. And it's at one point in this journey, it's like there was a change in who he was. He's living with a timeline out in front of him. He knows it's coming. He doesn't know when, but it's coming soon. And at some point in his journey, he finds peace. Not just peace with his death, that it's going to happen, but peace in trusting that Jesus has his eternal life in his hands. He's understanding the gospel. And he begins writing this blog. In fact, somebody in First Service already emailed me, and they say, "Pastor Matt, what's the link to his blog?" It's Precision Points of a Called Christian. And he starts writing this blog, and it's his journey with cancer, and it's his journey with Jesus too. And it begins to get more and more of a following as people that are dealing with cancer and people that are completely healthy, they're reading his journey, and they see the peace that's in his life, and they are experiencing it as well. And I remember the morning that I read on Facebook after he'd moved to Dalton, Georgia to live with his folks. And I remember reading as the announcement was made that he had died. But his last blog post just shares this beautiful call, this peace that he has found as he wants to share it with others. Daniel had found peace, and he became a peace sharer as he shared it with the world. I believe that's the calling of every Christian, every disciple and follower of Jesus, is to find and know that peace, knowing that Jesus has your eternal salvation in his hands, and then to share it with somebody else. Jesus gives us these words. You heard it from Janie this morning. Jesus says, "My peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you." Have you experienced the peace that comes from knowing Jesus? Have you seen how he's taken you from becoming a sinner and making you something special? If you have, go share that peace with somebody else. Let me pray for you this morning. Heavenly Father, what an honor it is to be called your son and daughter of God, children of the Most High God. It's only because you adopted us through the gift of Jesus. God, may we know your peace in our hearts. And may we share it with someone else so that they too can know the God that you are. God, we love you and we can't wait to see you. In Jesus' name.